أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الإمام أحمد narrates with an authentic chain of narration. عن أبي سعيد الخدري قال لما أعطى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أعطى من ذلك العطايا في قريش وقبائل العرب ولم يكن في الأنصار منها شيء وجد هذا الحي من الأنصار في أنفسهم حتى كثرت فيهم القالة حتى قال قائلهم لقي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قومه فدخل عليه سعد بن عبادة فقال يا رسول الله إن هذا الحي قد وجدوا عليك في أنفسهم لما صنعت في هذا الفيء الذي أصبت قسمت في قومك وأعطيت عطايا عظاما في قبائل العرب ولم يكن في هذا الحي من الأنصار شيء. قال فأين أنت من ذلك يا سعد؟ قال يا رسول الله ما أنا إلا امرؤ من قومي. قال فاجمع لي قومك في هذه الحظيرة. قال فخرج سعد فجمع الناس في تلك الحظيرة فجاء رجال من المهاجرين فتركهم فدخلوا وجاء آخرون فردهم. فلما اجتمعوا أتاه سعد فقال قد اجتمع لك هذا الحي من الأنصار. قال فأتاهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فحمد الله وأثنى عليه بالذي هو له أهل ثم قال يا معشر الأنصار ما قالة بلغتني عنكم وجدة وجدتموها في أنفسكم ألم آتكم ضلالا فهداكم الله وعالة فأغناكم الله وأعداء فألف الله بين قلوبكم قالوا بل الله ورسوله أمن وأفضل قال ألا تجيبونني يا معشر الأنصار قالوا وبماذا نجيبك يا رسول الله ولله ولرسوله المن والفضل قال أما والله لو شئتم لقلتم فلصدقتم وصدقتم أتيتنا مكذبا فصدقناك ومخذولا فنصرناك وطريدا فآويناك وعائلا فأغنيناك أوجدتم في أنفسكم يا معشر الأنصار في لعاعة من الدنيا تألفت بها قوما ليسلموا ووكلتكم إلى إسلامكم أفلا ترضون يا معشر الأنصار أن يذهب الناس بالشاة والبعير وترجعون برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في رحالكم فوالذي نفس محمد بيده لولا الهجرة لكنت امرأ من الأنصار ولو سلك الناس شعبا وسلكت الأنصار شعبا لسلكت شعب الأنصار اللهم ارحم الأنصار وأبناء الأنصار وأبناء أبناء الأنصار قال فبكى القوم حتى خضلوا لحاهم وقالوا رضينا برسول الله قسما وحظا ثم انصرف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتفرقنا. This is a narration by Imam Ahmad and it's authentic. And there's also equivalent narrations with some changes in the wordings by Bukhari and Muslim and other books of hadith. And it is narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He said, when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave out the spoils of Hunayn to Quraysh and the Arab tribes. You see, the spoils of war of Hunayn were huge. Because remember, Malik ibn Auf took everything with him. Women, children, and livestock. So it was all there. As soon as they fled, the Muslims took everything with them. It was a huge amount of camels and goats and sheep. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just finished from Fath Mecca, and he has a large army with him that includes people who came for the first time. Some of these Arab tribes from outside Medina and the people of Quraysh. I mean, for the people of Quraysh, this was the first time, and for some of the other tribes, their involvement in Ghazu was rare. But because this was a major expedition, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mobilized all of the Muslims to join him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started giving out from these spoils of war to Quraysh and to the other Arab tribes. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Safwan ibn Umayyah from Quraysh, and he gave people like Al-Aqra ibn Habis and Uyayna ibn Hasan. These are leaders of some of the Bedouin tribes. And he gave Al-Abbas ibn Mirdas, who was the head of the tribe of Banu Sulaym. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave everyone, and he only left out one tribe. And that tribe is Al-Ansar. So subhanAllah, the ones who fled were given, and the ones who fought went empty-handed. And the Ansar were saddened by that. I mean, in the time of fighting, Rasulullah ﷺ calls us, and in the time of giving, he gives someone else. We were the ones whom Rasulullah ﷺ called when Rasulullah ﷺ was standing and everybody else was running away. Who did Rasulullah ﷺ call for? He said, Ya al-Ansar, call the Ansar. He told al-Abbas, call the Ansar. And then he told them, call al-Khazraj. So these are the ones who came to fight and were injured and were killed. And now, when it's time to split the ghanima, Rasulullah ﷺ is giving everyone but them. So there was some talk going on among the Ansar radiallahu anhum. And they were sad by this. And their leader, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, had to go to Rasulullah ﷺ and bring up the issue. So Rasulullah ﷺ went to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّ هَذَا الْحَيِّ قَدْ وَجَدُوا عَلَيْكَ في أنفسهم لما صنعت في هذا الفيء الذي أصبت فقسمت في قومك وأعطيت عطايا عظاما في قبائل العرب ولم يكن في هذا الحي من الأنصار شيء. O Messenger of Allah, these people, the Ansar, are sad because you have given your people and you have given great portions to the leaders of the Arab tribes. For example, Al-Aqra was given 100 camels and Uyayna 100 camels, and then Abbas bin Mirdas was given 50, but then it was raised to 100. And these are, yani, 100 camels, is a camel is very expensive, so 100 camels is a big portion. That is, it's such a great amount of wealth. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ فِي هَذَا الْحَيْمِ الْأَنصَارِ شَيْءٍ. And the Ansar are empty-handed. So Rasulullah ﷺ asked Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he told him, فَأَيْنَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذَلَكَ. Where do you stand, O Sa'd? Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, ma ana illa mru'un min qawmi. I am but a man from my people. That's a very intelligent way of saying that I have the same question to ask. He's saying, I am but one man from my people. He came and presented to Rasulullah ﷺ the opinion of his people. And when Rasulullah ﷺ said, where do you stand? He said, I am but a man from my people. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, قال فجمع لي قومك في هذه الحظيرة. Bring all of your people together in this pavilion. قال فخرج سعد فجمع الناس في تلك الحظيرة. سعد بن عبادة رضي الله عنه went and gathered the Ansar in the appointed pavilion. فجاء رجال من المهاجرين فتركهم فدخلوا وجاء آخرون فردهم. Some of the Muhajirin came and they were allowed to come in, while some others came and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم turned them back. This is a special meeting for Al-Ansar. But he did allow some of the Muhajirin, who were his advisors and some important people, to come in, but the rest were prevented from entering. This is a private meeting between Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Ansar. فلما اجتمعوا أتاه سعد فقال قد اجتمع لك هذا الحيم الأنصار. When they were all there, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was told by Sa'd, the Ansar have gathered. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came, and the gathering was already, everybody was there before Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came in, and they were all in the tent or the pavilion. فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم praised Allah and thanked him. And that is how we should start our major events, our talks. We start them by praising Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the sunnah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to the Ansar these words. He said, didn't I come to you and you were misguided and Allah guided you through me? I came to you when you were poor and Allah enriched you through me. I came to you and you were enemies and Allah brought you together. They responded and said, all favors belong to Allah and His Messenger. Everything that Rasulullah ﷺ said, we agree. And all of these favors that you mentioned, they belong to Allah and to you. And then Rasulullah ﷺ told them, well, won't you answer back? They said, what should we say when all favors belong to Allah and His Messenger? Rasulullah ﷺ said, in the name of Allah, if you want, you may say, and you would be telling the truth if you do, you came to us rejected and we believed in you. You were betrayed and we supported you. You were a fugitive and we provided you with a home. You were poor and we enriched you. O people of Al-Ansar,
Are you upset because of a small material gain that I am using to bring a people closer to Islam while I have entrusted you to your Islam? Aren't you content, O people of Al-Ansar, that people would go back with sheep and camels while you would go back to your homes with Rasulullah, in the name of whom Muhammad's soul is in his hands? If it wasn't for Hijrah, I would be a man from Al-Ansar. And if people take a road and the Ansar take another road, I would follow the road of Al-Ansar. O Allah, forgive Al-Ansar, the sons of Al-Ansar, and the grandsons of Al-Ansar. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said they cried. They started crying until their beards were wet. And they said, we are pleased with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our share. Al-Ansar are special. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that. You are different than the rest of the people. I am giving the other people this money to bring them closer to Islam. But I trust your iman and I trust your faith and I know that you are not in need of these worldly things to bring you closer to me and bring you closer to Allah. You already have that in your hearts. The Ansar, when they first met with Rasulullah ﷺ, what was the deal between them and Rasulullah ﷺ? We support you and we fight for you. And what do we get in exchange of that? Al-Jannah. Rasulullah ﷺ did not promise them dunya. From day one, the Ansar were in it for the right reasons. So Rasulullah ﷺ told them, I came to you. Rasulullah ﷺ is reminding them with the blessings of Allah that came to Al-Ansar when Rasulullah ﷺ arrived in Medina. They were misguided. They were kuffar. And what is a greatest disaster than being a kafir? And they were guided through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is a greater blessing than that? Nothing. Nothing counts when you compare it to the blessing of hidayah. And that's why, brothers and sisters, the most frequent dua that we make is the dua we say in Al-Fatiha, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us to the straight path. That is better for us than money, it's better than women, it's better than children, it's better than having a house, it's better than everything. The best thing that you could have, better than being healthy. And then Rasulullah ﷺ told them, and you were poor and Allah enriched you. How did Allah enrich them? I mean, in terms of the economy of Medina, before it was based on agriculture, and agriculture in Medina was actually going down because of the constant state of war that they were in because of the hijrah of Rasulullah ﷺ. So what does Rasulullah ﷺ mean, enriched you through me? It means through the ghanaim that are coming from jihad fi sabilillah. And then Rasulullah ﷺ said, and you were enemies. The Alaus and Khazraj were at the throats of each other, and Allah has brought them together. So they agreed and they said, all favors belong to Allah and His Messenger. We can't reject that and we can't complain. But then Rasulullah ﷺ told them, on the other hand, you could also tell me that I was rejected by my people of Quraysh. And it is we who believed. You can say that you were betrayed by your people and we are the ones who supported you. You can say that you were a fugitive and you had nowhere to go. And there was a bounty on you. And it is we who provided you with a home and a base to spread the da'wah from. And you could also say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was poor and he had nothing, and we are the ones who hosted him. But the Ansar obviously would not say that. They would not complain. They would not brag about what they have done, because they consider everything to be a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. And everything good that they did, they consider it to be from Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling them that this is a small material gain. Lu'a'a min ad-dunya. And I'm giving it to these people not because I love them, not because I like them. It is because I want to bring them closer to Islam. أتألفهم. These are called المؤلف قلوبهم. And then Rasulullah ﷺ told them something, which only people who understand the greatness of Rasulullah ﷺ. He told them that people are going back with sheep and camels, while you are going back to your homes with Rasulullah. I am going back with you. I'm not going to stay in Mecca. I'm going back with you. And then Rasulullah ﷺ is telling them that if it wasn't for Hijrah, because Rasulullah ﷺ is counted as a Muhajir, which is a greater status than Ansari. So Rasulullah ﷺ says, if it wasn't for Hijrah, I would count myself as a member of Al-Ansar. And then Rasulullah is telling them, if all the people take a certain road, while you take another road, I would follow yours. I would be with you. And then Rasulullah made this lovely dua for Al-Ansar. Oh Allah, forgive the Ansar, forgive the sons of Al-Ansar, and forgive the grandsons of Al-Ansar. And this, when the Ansar radiallahu anhum heard these words, they cried until their beards were wet. And they said, we are pleased with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There are different narrations, as I mentioned, in Bukhari and Muslim. In one of them, there was a statement that caught my attention. Hisham says, قلت يا أبا حمزة وأنت شاهد ذلك قال أنس وأين أغيب عنه. Hisham, who is the tabi'i narrating the hadith, is asking Anas ibn Malik, whose kunya is Abu Hamza, he's saying, oh Abu Hamza, and you have witnessed that? Anas said, and where else would I be? What caught my attention here is the response that Anas gave. I mean, he didn't say, yes, I was there. He told him, and where else would I be? And this shows us a virtue of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, being the servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was always with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and such an event would not miss him. He would definitely be there. And that's why it's mentioned that Anas ibn Malik used to have so many dreams of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it goes to the extent that they mentioned that he used to dream about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam every night, because he was always with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An Zuhri, Rasulullah gave Al-Aqra ibn Habis 100 camels, and he gave Uyayna ibn Hassan 100 camels, but he gave Abbas bin Mirdas, who's also a chief of a tribe, only 50. So Al-Abbas made some lines of poetry talking about this and saying that, how can my share be less than the share of Al-Aqra ibn Habis and Uyayna when my father and their fathers were on an equal footing? And Az-Zuhri mentions this narration. He says that these words reached to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah said, "Anta al-qa'il, asbah nahbi wa nahbu al-'abidi bayna al-aqra' wa 'uyaynah." Faqala Abu Bakr, "Ma hakadha qala ya Rasulullah, walakin wallahi ma kunta bisha'ir wa ma yanbaghi lak." Faqala, "Kayfa qala?" فأنشده أبو بكر فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هما سواء ما يضرك بأيهما بدأت. ثم قال رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه اقطعوا عني لسانه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, are you the one who says, and then Rasulullah mentioned one line of this poem, that my share and the share of my horse is less than the share of Al-Aqra and Uyayna. While in the poem, Uyayna is mentioned before Aqra. Rasulullah mentioned Al-Aqra before Uyayna. So Rasulullah did not mention the line of poetry correctly. So Abu Bakr told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is not how he said it. But in the name of Allah, you are not a poet, and it's not appropriate for you to be one. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what did he say? So Abu Bakr mentioned the line as it should be, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are equal, it doesn't matter which one is mentioned first. And the reason why I'm bringing up this narration is to show you that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a poet. And even when he came to recite that line, he did not follow the meter of the poetry as was known in those times, because Allah azza wa jal has kept Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam away from poetry. But Abu Bakr mentioned that to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that it is not Al-Aqra before Uyayna, but Uyayna should be before Al-Aqra. Anyway, the man said yes, so Rasulullah ﷺ said, cut away his tongue. Some people thought that Rasulullah ﷺ literally meant that the tongue of Al-Abbas should be cut, when Rasulullah ﷺ meant that you should give him another 50, and that would cut away his tongue, figuratively speaking. He will not go around mentioning these words anymore. And he was given 100 just like Al-Aqra and Uyayna. To show you what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing, the reason, the justification behind it, in an authentic narration from Safwan ibn Umayyah, he said, مَا زَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعْطِينِي مِنْ غَنَائِمِ حُنَيْنِ وَهُوَ أَبْغَضُ خَلْقِ إِلَيَّ حَتَّى مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ. Safwan says, Rasulullah ﷺ kept on giving me from the booty of Hunayn and he was the worst of the creation to me, until Allah has not created anything that was more beloved to me than him. So it was these gifts that Rasulullah ﷺ was giving them that softened their hearts and made them love Rasulullah ﷺ. Really, brothers and sisters, when you look at the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ, you see that Rasulullah ﷺ was a master in dealing with people. Rasulullah ﷺ was blessed by Allah with the ability of drawing together the hearts of the community and forging together an ummah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla told him,
لَوْ أَنفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ.
If you would spend all of that which is in the world to bring together their hearts, you would not do so, but it is Allah who brought them together. Allah Azza wa Jalla has brought these people together. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the means for bringing them together, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it is not you, but it is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. But the point here to make is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to understand and learn his sunnah. You know, we sometimes have a limited understanding of what sunnah is. The way Rasulullah ﷺ dealt with people is sunnah. The way he made da'wah is sunnah. The way Rasulullah ﷺ fought is sunnah. These are all parts of sunnah. So Rasulullah ﷺ was giving Safwan ibn Umayyah, who was an enemy of Rasulullah until that moment, Rasulullah ﷺ put all of that aside, put it behind him, and was giving Safwan until Safwan was pleased and happy, and he says and admits that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most disliked person to me, and now I love him more than anybody else. Al-Bukhari narrates, حدثنا عمر بن تغلب أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتي بمال أو سبي فقسمه فأعطى رجالا وترك رجالا فبلغه أن الذين ترك عتبوا فحمد الله ثم أثنى عليه ثم قال أما بعد فوالله إني لأعطي الرجل وأدع الرجل والذي أدع أحب إلي من الذي أعطي ولكن أعطي أقواما لما أرى في قلوبهم من الجزع والهلع وأكل أقواما إلى ما جعل الله في قلوبهم من الغنى والخير فيهم عمرو بن تغلب فوالله عمرو يقول فوالله ما أحب أن لي بكلمة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حمر النعم. عمرو بن تغلب says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was distributing money or sabi are the women and children. So he distributed it, so he gave some men and he left others. So Rasulullah was told that the ones whom he left were upset that they were left out. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم praised Allah and thanked him and then said, in the name of Allah, I would give a man and I would leave out another man, and the one I leave out is more beloved to me than the one I give. But I am giving people because I see greed in their hearts, and I entrust others to what Allah has blessed them with contentment and good in their hearts, and one of them is Amr ibn Taghlib. Amr ibn Taghlib then says, in the name of Allah, I love these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than all of the red camels. And the red camels we mentioned before are the most valuable type of camels. I mean, if you would give me the entire world of red camels, I would leave that and rather have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam give me this badge of honor. So you see how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given Safwan, and that made Safwan love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah prevented Amr ibn Taghlib, and that made Amr ibn Taghlib love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned his name and said that I entrust him to his iman. But there were some people who not only were greedy, but they were complaining, and we will see an example of that. And this is mentioned in Bukhari. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri narrates, قَالَ بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهُوَ يَقْسِمُ قِسْمًا أتاه ذو الخويصرة وهو رجل من بني تميم فقال يا رسول الله اعدل فقال ويلك ومن يعدل إذا لم أعدل قد خبت وخسرت إلا ما أعدل فقال عمر يا رسول الله إذن لي فيه فأضرب عنقه. فقال دعه فإن له أصحابا يحقر أحدكم صلاته مع صلاتهم وصيامه مع صيامهم، يقرؤون القرآن لا يجاوز تراقيهم، يمرقون من الدين كما يمرق السهم من الرمية، ينظر إلى نصله فلا يوجد فيه شيء، ثم ينظر إلى رصافه فلا يوجد فيه شيء، ثم ينظر إلى نضيه وهو قدحه فلا يوجد فيه شيء، ثم ينظر إلى قذذه فلا يوجد فيه شيء، قد سبق الفرث والدم. آيتهم رجل أسود إحدى عضديه مثل ثدي المرأة أو مثل البضعة تدردر، يخرجون على حين فرقة من الناس. قال أبو سعيد فأشهد أني سمعت هذا الحديث من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأشهد أن علي بن أبي طالب قاتلهم وأنا معه، فأمر بذلك الرجل فالتمس فأتي به حتى نظرت إليه على نعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي نعته. أبو سعيد الخدري says, we were with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was distributing a booty, and he was approached by Dhul Khawaisra, and he's a man from Banu Tamim. So he said, oh Rasulullah, be just. Subhanallah. And this man is speaking to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger from Allah, and he's telling him, be just. This man, who was until quite a short while ago a disbeliever, making sujood to an idol, is telling the best of creation, be just. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, woe to you. And who would be just if I am not just? Umar bin al-Khattab رضي الله عنه said, oh Rasulullah, allow me to cut off his neck. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, leave him, because he will have companions. You will belittle your salah to their salah. And you would belittle your fasting compared to their fasting. They would recite Quran, but it would not leave their throats. It would not go beyond their throats. They would leave the religion just like an arrow would leave its target. So you would look at the blade and there is no blood on it. And then you would look at the binding and you would not find nothing on it. And you would look at the rest of the arrow, and you would find the shaft, and you would find nothing on it. An explanation of what this is, if an archer is strong, and he shoots the arrow with such force, the arrow could hit the game, and could pass through it so fast, that the archer cannot even recognize that the target was hit. And then he goes to pick up the arrow, to see if there is any traces of blood on it. And he would find nothing. He would look at the blade, there is nothing. He would look at the binding that brings the blade to the shaft. He would find nothing. Then he would look at the shaft itself and he would find nothing. This is an analogy that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave of how fast these people would leave religion. I mean, they're so extreme that they would leave the religion so swiftly you couldn't even recognize that. And this is a very interesting analogy that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave about these people. Because they pray. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying that they're praying more than the Sahaba. And they are fasting. And they're fasting more. And they recite Quran. But it doesn't leave their throats. Why? Because they're not following the meanings. It's just voice coming out from the throat. But there's no implication of it. And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and their sign is a dark man. And one of his arms, I mean, he doesn't have a full arm, he just has a trunk of an arm, and it looks like a breast of a woman. So, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, I testify that I heard these words from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and I testify that Ali ibn Abi Talib is the one who fought them, and I was with him. And he ordered that we search for that man, and we found him, and we saw that the description of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, this man fitted exactly. Let's see what Ibn Hajar, some words from Ibn Hajar in his commentary on this hadith. قال ابن هبيرة, Ibn Hajar says that Ibn هبيرة said, وفي الحديث أن قتال الخوارج أولى من قتال المشركين والحكمة فيه أن في قتالهم حفظ رأس مال الإسلام وفي قتال أهل الشرك طلب الربح وحفظ رأس المال أولى. In this hadith, we learn that fighting the Khawarij is a priority over fighting the disbelievers. And the wisdom behind that is because fighting the Khawarij is a protection of the capital. while fighting the disbelievers is seeking profit, and protecting the capital takes precedence over making a profit. And this is a rule that applies to fighting all of the murtaddeen, because they are eating the ummah from within. While when you fight the disbelievers, you're fighting them to bring them, obviously here they're talking about fighting the disbelievers in terms of da'wah. So protecting the capital takes precedence over making profit. And then he says, وَفِي تَحْذِيرٍ مِنَ الْغُلُوِّ فِي الدِّيَانَةِ وَالتَّنَطُّعِ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ بِالْحَمْلِ عَلَى النَّفْسِ فِيمَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ فِيهِ شَرَعٌ. And he said there's a warning in this hadith from going to extremes in religion and going to extremes in worship in ways that Islam has not allowed, the Sharia has not allowed. And then he says, وَإِنَّمَا نَدَبَ إِلَى الشِّدَّةِ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ وَإِلَى الرَّأْفَةِ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَعَكَسَ ذَلِكَ الْخَوَارِجِ كَمَا تَقَدَّمَ بَيَانٌ. Our religion has encouraged us to be rough with the kuffar and soft with the believers. And the Khawarij did the opposite of that, like we have seen. Because Rasulullah ﷺ gives us a very important sign of the signs of Al-Khawarij. And it's very important to keep in mind whenever we want to know who the Khawarij are. And that sign is, يَقْتُلُونَ أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَيَتْرَكُونَ أَهْلَ الْأَوْثَانِ. They kill the Muslims and they leave the disbelievers. This is an important sign of the signs of the Khawarij. An example of that, Abdullah ibn Khabbab, he's the son of the companion Khabbab ibn al-Arat. He was traveling along with his wife and he was stopped by the Khawarij. They said, who are you? He said, I'm the son of Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Everybody knows who he is, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they killed him and they opened up the stomach of his wife and killed her and drew out the fetus. She was pregnant. And then they took some belongings that were owned by a Christian or a Jew, and then some of them said, no, you have to return it because these are Ahl al-Dhimmah. So you can see an example here. They are following wara and taqwa when it comes to Ahl al-Dhimmah, but when it comes to the Muslims, they kill the son of a companion of Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And this is an important, or one of the most important qualities of Al-Khawarij, is their animosity and hatred and roughness toward Muslims. And then when it comes to the kuffar, they turn a blind eye towards them. وَفِيهِ جَوَازُ. And by the way, that incident that I mentioned was started the war between Ali ibn Abi Talib and Al-Khawarij. Because Ali said, leave them alone. Until they kill or they rob, then we will fight them. So when they killed Abdullah ibn Khabbab and they took his belongings, that is when Ali ibn Abi Talib ordered that they should be fought. And then he says, وَفِيهِ جَوَازُ قِتَالِ مَنْ خَرَجَ عَنْ طَاعَةِ الْإِمَامِ الْعَادِلِ وَمَنْ نَصَبَ الْحَرْبَ فَقَاتَلَ عَلَى اعْتِقَادٍ فَاسِدٍ. And he says, there is evidence here for fighting the ones who revolt against the just imam, the just leader, and the ones who fight for a false belief. So there's an evidence here for fighting the ones who are fighting for a false belief and fighting the ones who revolt against a just leader, such as Ali ibn Abi Talib, the ones who revolt against him. وَمَنْ خَرَجَ يَقْطَعَ الطُّرُقْ وَيُخِيفْ السَّبِيلِ وَيَسْعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ بِالْفَسَادِ. And the ones who they spread corruption on earth and they commit armed robbery, there's an evidence here that they should be fought. And keep note of what Ibn Hajar is saying next. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَرَجَ عَنْ طَاعَةِ إِمَامٍ جَائِرٍ أَرَادَ الْغَلَبَةَ عَلَى مَالِهِ أَوْ نَفْسِهِ أَوْ أَهْلِهِ فَهُوَ مَعْذُورٌ وَلَا يَحِلُّ قِتَالُهُ. He says, but the ones who revolt against an oppressive leader, and notice here he's not saying a disbelieving leader, he's saying an oppressive leader, who wants to take over his wealth, or to kill him, or to abuse his family, then he is excused, and it is not allowed to fight him. So the ones who revolt against the unjust leaders, Ibn Hajar is saying that it is haram to fight them, and they are excused for fighting. And he says that if the police force or the army of an unjust ruler comes to take away your wealth, or to kill you, or to abuse your family, then you can fight back. He says, وَلَا يَحِلُّ قِتَالُ وَلَهُ أَنْ يَدْفَعَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ وَأَهْلِهِ بِقَدْرِ طَاعَتِهِ. And you can defend yourself and your wealth and your family according to your ability. So, and this is talking about the unjust leader. But if the leader is a disbeliever, then it is the consensus of the ulama that it is wajib, it is obligatory to fight him. You cannot submit to a disbelieving leader. وَسَيَأْتِي بَيَانُ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابِ الْفِتَنِ. He said, and we will explain that in the book of Fitan. And then he says, وَقَدْ أَخْرَجَ الطَّبَرِي بِسَنَدٍ صَحِيحٍ عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنْ الْحَارِثِ عَنْ رَجُلٍ مِّنْ بَنِي نَظْرٍ عَنْ عَلِيٍّ وَذَكَرَ الْخَوَارِجِ فَقَالَ إِنْ خَالَفُوا إِمَامًا عَدْلًا فَقَاتِلُوهُمْ وَإِنْ خَالَفُوا إِمَامًا جَائِرًا فَلَا تُقَاتِلُوهُمْ فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ مَقَالًا. الطبري narrates with an authentic chain from Abdullah bin Harith, from a man from Bani Nadr, from Ali bin Abi Talib, that he said about al-Khawarij, if they go against a just ruler, then they should be fought. But if they go against an unjust ruler, then do not fight them because they have an evidence. قلت وعلى ذلك يحمل ما وقع للحسين بن علي ثم لأهل المدينة في الحرة ثم لعبد الله بن الزبير ثم للقراء الذين خرجوا على الحجاج في قصة عبد الرحمن بن محمد بالأشعث والله أعلم. And then he says, and that is what we should consider happened with Al-Husayn bin Ali and the people of Medina when they revolted, and Abdullah bin Zubayr, and then the scholars who revolted against Al-Hajjaj in the story of Abdurrahman bin Muhammad bin Al-Ash'ath, and Allah knows best. So Ibn Hajar here is mentioning examples of those who revolted against unjust leaders, and he mentions Abdullah bin Zubayr and Al-Husayn bin Ali and the people of Medina and Abdurrahman bin Al-Ash'ath as examples. The people of Hawazin, they sent a delegation to Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayh, asking Rasulullah to give them back their property, because they lost everything. Their women and their children and their livestock was all gone. I mean, imagine an entire tribe, only the men's are left and everything else is taken away from them. And this narration is in al-Bukhari, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قام حين جاءه وفد هوازن المسلمين فأسألوه أن يرد إليهم أموالهم وسبيهم فقال لهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب الحديث إلي أصدقه فاختاروا إحدى الطائفتين إما السبي وإما المال وقد كنت استأنيت بهم وقد كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انتظرهم بضع عشرة ليلة حين قفل من الطائف. When Hawazin came to accept Islam, they asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم to return to them their wealth and their women and children. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the most beloved words to me are the most truthful, so choose one of two, either your women and children or the wealth. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told them, I cannot give both back. I will give you either the women and children or the wealth. And I waited for you. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is telling them, I actually waited before distributing the ghanima, with the hope that you would come to me so I could give it back to you. But now it's already divided. I mean, it's already now within the property of Muslim individuals. So I cannot take it away from them and give it back to you. But he told them, choose one of the two. So they said, if you are giving us the choice, then obviously we're going to choose our women and children. So Rasulullah ﷺ told them, I am going to give them back to you, but I have to appeal to the Muslims. So Rasulullah ﷺ stood up in front of the Muslims, praised Allah Azza wa Jal, and then said, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ إِخْوَانَكُمْ هَؤُلَاء قَدْ جَاءُونَ تَائِبِينَ وَإِنِّي قَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَنَا أُرُدَّ إِلَيْهِمْ سَبِيَهُمْ فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يُطَيِّبَ بِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْعَلْ وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَلَى حَظِّهِ حَتَّى نُعْطِيَهُ إِيَّاهُ مِنْ أَوَّلِ مَا يُفِيءُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا فَلْيَفْعَلْ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, your brothers have come repenting, they became Muslim, and I want to give back to them their women and children. So whoever among you would allow to give them back what belongs to them, then he should do so. And whoever wants to be compensated, then I will compensate them from the first ghanima that we get. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling them, if you want to give them back what belongs to them, then that is better, do it. If you want to give it back with a promise of reimbursement for what you have given, then I will do that from the first ghanima that I get after this battle. So the Muhajirin and Ansar, in the narration of Al-Bukhari, it says that they all gave it back, but Ibn Ishaq mentions, the scholars of Sira say, that al-Muhajirin said, we would give up what we have. The Ansar said the same. But then al-Aqra ibn Habis stood and said, me and my tribe will not give up what we have. Uyayn ibn Hassan said, we will not give up what we have. And then Abbas ibn Ubadah said, we will not give up what we have. But then his tribe, Banu Sulaym, stood up and said, no, we are going to give up what we have. So Abbas told them, wahantumuni, you have disgraced me. But they have done the right thing. Rasulullah ﷺ appealed to the people to give it back. And then Rasulullah ﷺ said, I will not know who has given back and who has not. So let your urafa. The urafa are the shuyukh of the tribes, the leaders of the tribes. Rasulullah ﷺ said, let them report to me who has given up what they have and who didn't. Anyway, the women and children were returned to Hawazin. While the livestock was split, it says that every individual got 40 sheep. This tells you that there was a huge ghanima. Malik ibn Auf received a message from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that if you become Muslim, I will give you what belongs to you, and on top of that, I will give you 100 camels. So subhanAllah, Malik ibn Auf sneaked out from Al-Taif, and he was there when it was besieged, and he carried on resisting until that moment. So now when he was told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I will give you your property back, he came and he accepted Islam, and then he led an army from his people who became Muslim against the people of Al-Taif. I mean, he's the one who started the war against Rasulullah, and now he became Muslim and he's fighting against the ones whom he encouraged to fight Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the first place. So this shows you how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, it shows us how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was winning the hearts of people. Ka'b ibn Zuhair also became Muslim. Ka'b ibn Zuhair was one of the poets who used to use their poetry against Rasulullah sallallahu wasallam. His brother sent him a message telling him that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is executing the poets who spoke against him. So you either come to him as Muslim or flee before you're killed. So Ka'b was very worried about this, and he was concerned that he might be killed. And the people who were advising him were causing him this fear. But anyway, he decided that he will give it a try and go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he went to Rasulullah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know him. So he went to Rasulullah and said, Ka'b ibn Zuhair came to you repenting and he wants to become Muslim. Do you accept his Islam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, let him come. He said, I am Ka'b ibn Zuhair. And then he gave his bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he stood and gave a wonderful poem praising Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi. And the story goes that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi told the Sahaba to listen to this poem, and then Rasulullah gave him his cloak, al-burda, and it is this burda, according to the stories, that ended up in the hands of the Khulafa of Banu Abbas. They consider it to be barakah because it belongs to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi and it would be handed down from one Khalifa to the next. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, we're talking about here events that happened within that year. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi sent men from the tribe of Ahmus to Dhul Khalasa to destroy it, and they destroyed it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi was destroying all of the remnants of Jahiliyyah, all of these false idols, the Asnam, were being destroyed. And this was bringing an end to the false worship in the land of Hijaz and the rest of the Arabian Peninsula. This is the end of the events of the 8th year of Hijrah. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll move on to the next in our following session. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslimin kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.